Yeah, hi. Can I have a white coffee, please?
Maybe you'd like to try today's special, which is a café au lait made from Himalayan beans roasted precisely to a temperature of 18.1 degrees Celsius with a triple and a half shot of coffee mixed with one splash of fat-free milk, one splash of homemade goat milk, a little bit of caramel licorice drizzle, served upside down in a mason jar.
Want a quality cup of coffee without the fuss? Simply made with 100% freshly ground Arabica beans? The McCafé range from McDonald's. Great tasting coffee. Simple.
It's a good show!
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. And you'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Let's fucking let it rip, dude. I didn't even do a sound check.
You know, just let it rip.
I didn't do a sound check.
Well, you're a bad boy.
Yeah, I'm playing by no rules. No, yeah. Dryer's on. That's not much of a bad boy. That's not much of a bad boy I am. I forgot to turn the dryer off. Dave, fill the space.
You're listening to WBM. Actually, it'd be a K because we're west of the Mississippi. Did you know that little fun fact that radio stations west of Mississippi start with K and east of Mississippi start with a W?
Really?
Do you know why?
Western and Keystern?
No. You messed up my timing. I was going to say, I have no idea. but yeah, that's how that works.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
For some reason, I realized that. Yeah, it's like K-Rock and
Yeah.
All that stuff out here.
Yeah, and all the East Coast stuff is W. Yeah, I don't know why. I didn't pay attention to that part. I learned that in broadcasting school.
That would be. I was going to say, that's not a high school.
Yeah,
thing.
I was a professional broadcaster. Hey, you listen to South 106.1.
Do the Boogie Monster drop right now. Well, I looked that up. I want to know why.
Hey, this is Dangerous Dave. You're listening to the Boogie Monster with Kyle and Dave on Starbirds Industry Audio.
I would have changed the channel so fast.
Yeah, I messed up the caller. It's not Starburns Industry Audio.
I write, why are radio, and I was about to say station's name, of the Google searches, of the five that come up, the last one is, why are radio DJs so annoying?
That's a great question. Like, what is it about that culture that, like, when I told you before, but one of my names was Dangerous Dave, and I was like, no. And my boss was like, dude, no, you got to have, can't just be Dave. I'm like, why not?
Is it one of those insulated, like, you see comics that only play at one club,
mm-hmm.
and they're insulated, and they're like, I'm killing it here.
Yeah.
Because there's no, like, is it like, are radio DJs that way? Like, man, you really sounded great on the air. It's like, you don't know that people in their cars are just like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why, but you know what's funny too is when I was in radio, I was always scouring like the job boards and websites and stuff. Radio is a very transient industry where people are just always moving, looking for that next job. So I was always reading like want ads for radio stations and DJs and stuff. And a reoccurring point that that program directors or station owners would make, like when they're looking for like the next, we're looking for a third morning show guy for our blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah.
No stand-up comedians. And I don't think they meant that literally. I think they meant like no wise guys, no jokesters. Like,
yeah, they don't want anybody showing up there.
Yeah, like, nobody with like legitimate comedic chops. We want to, we wouldn't really want to show up Dickie and the Booge.
Yeah, I mean, I always shit on radio DJs, but then somebody else put it in perspective, like, they get up and do original programming,
mm-hmm.
for the most part, for hours.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
And so when you're listening, like, you don't remember the lulls or, boy, these guys are boring. But you don't realize, like, that's their day job is customer service to thousands, if not millions of people.
Well, especially some of the bigger morning radio shows. A bigger morning radio show won't even play music, even if they're on a music channel. Yeah. Even if they're on most of them are on music radio stations. But so that's, you know, 4 hours minus, I think when I was doing it, like 10 minutes an hour were commercials.
Yeah.
Like that was always like a thing with like your sales manager and your program director were always like, the program guy's like, I want 50. 59 minutes of music every hour. And then the sales manager's like, no, we need like 45 so we can sell 15 minutes worth of. But yeah, so point being, minus commercials, they're still, you know, 50 minutes an hour, these morning shows, not playing music, just
they're
original
talking,
content.
Talking to the extent of like trying to be generally entertaining to a large amount of people.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, a lot of them were. Like, it's crazy. This was pre everything streaming, everything download. Like I had my stations I listened to growing up, and it was just like, well, hopefully, like how some people listen to us. Like, oh, you know, every Tuesday I got to listen to David Collins, see what they're up to. But we were that way.
Like a morning, like, I understood the morning show thing because it's like that's when people are starting. Mm-hmm. So now you're like dragging ass.
Yeah.
And bored about, like, bummed about going to work, you're leaning on somebody to be like, well, all right!
Yeah.
Maybe that's why, because it's in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, afternoon DJs.
Yeah.
Afternoon drive time. They're like, how you doing? Ready to get home? Ready to rock and roll that weekend? They're like, hey, everybody, how's it going?
Yeah.
Like, that's a calmer voice.
Yeah.
I used to listen to Bill and Wendy, who were on, they were on, Q101 was the big alternative station in Chicago, but it changed into alternative when I was early in high school, so like maybe 92 or something.
Okay.
But before that, I was like adult contemporary, and Bill and Wendy were the morning team on it. But Bill, if you remember the movie Major League.
Uh-huh.
Now, you remember how there was like the little tribe of the Indians
fans? Yeah, uh-huh. The three guys that set out. And wasn't one of them Randy Quaid? I'm pretty sure one of them was Randy Quaid. It was like banging a drum.
Yeah. Bill Leff. Bill Leff was one of them. The guy.
Okay.
And when it changed over to alternative, they still kept them, but they would just make fun of the music, which I liked because they were kind of. He would always make fun of Creed. Like, Creed was alternative. You have to understand that Creed was alternative.
Oh, of course. Yeah. The late 90s.
Shadow of the grunge. Well, fucking early 90s.
Well, Creed broke around 97, 98.
Was that it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. No, because that's when I was listening. Yeah. And he would, like, they would make, like, court is in session. What court? What court is in session? Like, just typical observations up, but then you could tell the moment that they knew they were going to get replaced by like an alternative morning show, which turned out to be Man Cow, which was a turd streak on the side of a stall, like unbelievably just bad. But you could tell, like, so they kind of just really started letting it go off the rails when they got wind that they weren't going to be working there.
Oh, wow.
And they were, oh, they had, like, and it was bad. It was like radio stuff now, like, you couldn't laugh at, but it was like, they always had their, like, weather guy who had Tourette's. But it was, like, it was the creativity of what they would yell with the Tourette's. Not the story of, like, it's got to be 73 out in Berwyn. Cardboard applicator! And I know you're not supposed to laugh at that stuff. Mm-hmm. But you got to look at the time.
Yeah.
And now I did Bill and Wendy's show back. And I,
really?
It was fun. I got a chance to tell them that. They're still on the air with WGN Radio, and I was working there, and I came through, and I had a chance to be like, you guys got me through a lot of really shitty mornings when I was working at a gas station, the 6 a.m. shift. And I would get in there, and I would just laugh my ass off at them.
That's awesome. Yeah, I used to listen to the regular guys in Atlanta, and this was after my radio career. I was in radio for 4 or 5 years, but when I was landscaping, I would always listen to the regular guys in the morning. And then eventually, I became like a monthly guest when I started doing comedy in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Somebody hooked it up. But me and Andy Sanford would go in about once a month and just do little radio gags and stuff. Yeah. But I used to think like, oh, man, I used to listen to you guys all the time. And now, well, the same thing, maybe even better story. When I was a radio DJ, one of the pinnacle of my short career was making it to 99X in Atlanta, and that was the station. Yeah. Oh yeah, 99X, and but that was the station that I grew as a teenager. Everybody like that I grew up with, you know, in North Georgia, listened to 99X, and then two or three years after I graduated high school, I worked my way up to like a part-time, what we call weekends, I would do on the air, but just like part-timers. Part-timers only worked during the weekends because the full-time guys worked Monday through Friday. But so that was cool, like getting to actually be a DJ on the station I grew up listening to. So that was kind of neat.
Do I? Radio guys make them. I only know from one friend who was doing it. I think he's still in the air. Things out in Joliet, Joe Cicero, I think. Cicero Joe, they call him. I think he's out. Still somewhere in Chicago. But he would move all over the place. Just like the beginning of the Howard Stern's movie. All over the place.
I moved 9 times in 5 years.
Really?
I worked at 9 different radio stations in 5 years.
How far did you have to go from just
the furthest one was Ocala, Florida. Mm-hmm. I moved down there for like 3 weeks. And then I got an even better offer to go back to a station in Athens, Georgia, to run that station. So I was like, hey, I know I just got here, but I got to go. But yeah, I moved 9 times in five
years.
That's
insane.
Mm-hmm.
The Loop went off the air recently. That was the big Chicago station forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny. They got sold to, they were becoming Christian programming.
Ugh.
Because who else? Nobody's listening to the radio anymore.
Yeah. It's crazy.
But it's funny, they went off the air and their last three songs before turning into a Christian radio station, they played Motley Crue's Shout of the Devil, Iron Maiden's The Number of the Beast, and AC/DC's Highway to Hell.
That's great.
You ever get like really oddly sentimental, like, oh man, I'm gonna cry a little bit because The Loop's gone.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to The Loop that much.
Uh-huh.
The Loop was like, it was too much talking, and they played, if they would play that music before,
yeah,
maybe more people would listen to it, but.
But, oh, yeah, I totally get being sentimental about radio, especially back then. And if you worked a blue-collar job where, like, for me, I was on a lawnmower 8, 9, 10 hours a day. This is pre-podcast. Mm-hmm. It was pre-iPod. Listen, you know, Google Play or Spotify, where I just have every song ever made at my disposal. So, yeah, listening to the radio was big. Just, you know, in the morning you'd have your shows that you'd listen to, and then afternoon, you're kind of like, I would flip around. There were two or three different stations I would listen to, but I always, my morning team was this crew, yeah. And then in the afternoon I switch over to this channel. And
what a drag with XM radio or something, or satellite radio, like, oh look, so you still just play the same 20 songs.
Do they? I don't listen to much XM because I don't have access.
The 80s and the,
they don't even do deep cuts, like
once in a while you get one.
Hmm.
Look at us bitching about, man, that radio used to be all right, man.
I loved it, man. I had a good time in radio.
Yeah.
Met a lot of musicians.
How do we get hammered about that?
I don't know, man. What else going on, dude? You how's your anger? How's your temper? You have a temper tantrum this week?
I had a temper tantrum.
What's the matter with you?
I don't know. I did everything right that day. I woke up. I was having a bad week with technology. I was trying to buy flights and just airline websites. Just, it's such an easy scam for them to be like, oh, here's a cheaper flight, but I couldn't click on the thing.
Uh-huh.
And showed all these, like, 10, like a page filled with 10 options for cheaper flights on a Delta website. And I couldn't click on it. And I call them, like, why can't I click on this cheaper flight? Like, I don't know, but we could route it for you. Like, no, I just want to click on the thing that says I can get a cheaper flight. I reboot the website. And like, oh, they're all sold out now. Oh, magically, all the cheaper flights are sold out.
What's the scam?
This is old man, just them telling you, look, here's a cheap flight. So you gravitate towards that airline, mm-hmm. and then that cheap flight's not available. What will sell you this one that's the same price as all these other ones?
Oh, different airlines popping up.
No, like, this was the Delta website. Oh. It was just, I was just angry at it,
yeah.
And then I was trying to send out promo stuff through the mailing list, and I'm on a fucking MailChimp website, and I would like, all right, I'm trying to reset my password, and every time I do it, with some reason, put my sister's name in. It would autofill my sister's name in.
Huh.
I'd be like, no, and then I would change her name, and then it would change the website address. Then I'd change the website address, it would put her name back into it, and I just picked up my laptop, you can see it here,
yeah.
And I picked it up over my head, and I slammed it on the coffee table over there.
Why would you do that?
Slam the shit out of it. Because you know what? It's the thing you're not supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
and it's not even the computer, it's mm-hmm. the website.
Yeah.
Or maybe it is, whatever it is, it felt great.
Hmm.
It felt great. Because here's this thing that's frustrating me, and it's not machinery. We're like, oh, that's the part of the machine that's broken.
Mm-hmm.
Change that part of the machine.
Yeah.
It's just this little box that we rely on. And then, but can make sure the box is cool and make sure it stays out of sunlight and take care of this little baby that gives you your pornography and your email. And to take it and pick it up over your head and smack the shit out of it. Feels fucking great.
I'm afraid to watch porn on my computer.
Why?
Just viruses. I don't trust it.
It's a Mac. You're not supposed to get viruses.
That's happened before.
I mean, well, where are you going?
I watch VHS tapes. I'm sure that premise has been done, but just the hipster who likes his old analog.
Somebody had a great joke about, like, the younger generation not understanding of, like, finding your dad's pornography. Mm-hmm. and like on a VHS tape and playing it and realizing exactly where you're dead.
Oh. Yeah.
Just realizing, like, oh, I'm done with this.
This is how far you got.
Oh, good joke.
Dan Mintz has a great joke about that topic. I won't do it justice, but he says something like, you know, kids today have it so easy with all the options. When I was a kid, all we had was the lingerie section of the Sears catalog. But now, with the internet, I can go on my computer and go directly to Sears.com. That's a damn good joke.
Oh. Yeah, I lost my shit. And then I tore the closet door off the hinges, too. So I'm like, walk away from it. I walked in the closet. The closet door was in my way, and I just pulled it right off of the
What? Door. What's wrong with you?
I don't know, man.
You're like the Incredible Hulk this week.
I'm not who I am.
You ripped the laundry door off?
No, in my closet. Same kind of door, though, as that one. It was just like I walked by it, and it was in my way, and I went to push it closed, and it wouldn't do what I wanted it to do. And I was just like, anything that doesn't do what I want it to do right now, I'll destroy. And so that's what I did. I fucking smacked it. And the computer worked better after I beat the shit out of it. That's right, Apple, you little bitch.
Wow.
Closet door and just tore it off.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall. Just see angry Kyle.
The whole, everything's fine. There's no like deep-seated anger. I went on my bike rides. Comedy's a fun time again. Maybe that's these little things that I can't sort out and frustrate me, and I can immediately just destroy them, and it feels good. Like, you're embarrassed later. My mom, she would do the same thing. What's wrong with you? My mom did the same thing a couple months ago. She's like, Kyle, I get it now. She was doing something with the laptop, except this is where my mom still picks it out. She didn't want to wreck the tiles in the kitchen, so she went outside of the driveway and slammed her computer on the ground. Old death out there. Like, in her bathrobe, throwing a laptop around the driveway. I was like, yeah, and how did it feel? She's like, it felt great. I'm like, exactly.
You know what you need? I don't have this anymore, but
somebody else to handle this shit is what I need.
I use in an old house I lived in. I had this for about 3 years. It wasn't for this exact purpose, but I had a heavy bag, a big heavy punching bag. That's
it's
fun.
Supposed to be punched. Mm-hmm. The relief is going. This is what you're not supposed to. It's like when you're a little kid. If you're a little kid, especially like little boys, you ever just see like panes of glass leaning somewhere? You're like, well, I have to break those. There's a compulsion to break stuff that you're not supposed to break at your house. But abandoned house, what's the first thing you do? You throw rocks through the windows. And I don't know what that compulsion is. You know? You start fires.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, yeah, there's just that
burn shit as a little kid.
That destruction gene. Just, I want to fuck some shit up. Now, oh, I had that.
What is that? That's repressed. They have those parties where you can go and wreck stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What did I see that had just come from one of those? And they were just so. Oh, Betsy Sidaro. You know Betsy Sidaro? She's like UCB stuff.
Sounds made up.
She's real funny. Real spunky rascal of a gal. But I saw her at a bar down the street. She had just come from one of those and she was tuned up. She could, like, it was the fucking best. Just throwing VCRs at dressers.
Wow.
And stuff. Like, but you just go to it.
Okay.
I think it's like a Japanese thing. I think it started there. They got all the pent up frustration. So you go and you just beat the shit out of something that looks like a living room.
Man. My outlet when I was
therapy, you know?
About 12, 13, 14, right before I could drive, across the street was a lake, like a communal lake. And there was a giant parking lot, just a crudely fashioned parking lot with big, giant pieces of gravel. Mm-hmm. There's different classifications of gravel. I won't bore you with, like, crush and run and all the labels. But this was, like, the big, like...
I actually want to know...
Crab apple.
What the...
Crush and run is just, like, this mix, like, the real small stuff. This back in my landscaping days. I used to know all the terms. But this... I forgot the name of this, but this was, like... The size of golf balls, but gravel. Okay. And the best thing in the world. It was both fun and also it scratched that little destruction itch. Just take an old shitty baseball bat, wooden baseball bat, and just toss and bam. The sensation was greater than that of a baseball because this is like a golf ball sized rock. Yeah. So just that bam and that, and then also seeing the destruction it would do to the bat. You'd hit a good one, then you look at the bat like, oh man, look at that shit, And eventually, and then after a few months, you just destroy the bat. It would just eventually just whittle
splinter
away.
Apart.
Yeah, splinter everywhere. But man, just that sensation, just really getting a hold of one, and then also watching it go, like the goal was to hit hit it over the lake. That was a home run. But so much fun.
I think it's like the Office Space when they destroyed the printer. Like, that resonated with so many people.
Yeah, what a good scene.
Because it's just a little thing. Just a little, more or less going, nope.
Yeah.
And it's not broken like, oh, the screen won't turn on. Or so. It's just like, nope.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest thing. I want to do a simple thing with this. You know, a car doesn't start. There's stages you can go through to find out why a car doesn't start.
Yeah.
Is it getting gas in the engine? Is it getting air in the engine? Is it sparking? You know, you can go through these stages.
Uh-huh.
And with a computer that's just saying, nah.
Yeah, you don't know.
You fucking smarmy fuck. Nah, we don't want to.
Oh,
man. What are you going to do? I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Mm-hmm. Ooh, ooh. It started working after that. My internet got faster.
Ooh. They heard. Did you have a temper problem when you were a kid?
No.
I did.
I don't think I did.
One time, I got so mad at my mom and my brother. I was about 4 or 5, and I don't know what happened, but it was just, it's on. I'm going to go to my room, slam my door, and just destroy my room. And my brother put a cassette recorder right outside my door. And they captured the whole thing. They captured the whole, and I'm breaking He-Man toys in half, and I'm talking shit. Who else wants some of what he got? What the fuck were you looking at, teddy bear? Punching teddy bears, kicking the wall, and just talking shit. And they recorded it, and this is at 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and sure enough, 7 o'clock, we all sit down for dinner. Dad comes home, blah, 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 we're eating, and you know, I know that I'm kind of in trouble or whatever, but Dad doesn't quite know yet. And sure enough, Mom leaves the room, comes back in 30 seconds with a tape recorder, puts it right in the middle of the table, and hit play. And we all listened to little Fat Dave's tirade. And I had never been more embarrassed in my life.
Were they getting mad? Is that one of those moments where you can tell they're trying to hide?
Well, it was like, look. Laughter. I think it was more of like, listen to what a fucking idiot you sound like. You know, even at that age, they were like, listen to this. Why are you doing this?
My mom told me, like, I used to have like super bad Catholic guilt.
Uh-huh.
Like anything. I don't know why it like got Catholic guilt and guilt from like my mom. Though, like, you forever lied to me. Like, would really affect me. And later on, she told me how hard she had to not laugh when I confessed that I was playing with matches by the park. And I was just crying, like, I get the matches to light, but I tried to light them. And I know you said I asked to ever play with matches, but I was playing with the matches.
And this is when you were 16.
Yeah. I've been with that home for a long time. I was 23.
Oh, that's funny. Little Kyle felt bad about the matches.
Oh God, what have I done to this kid? I think I leaned on him a little hard with the guilt.
Oh man, yeah, we had Christian Baptist guilt, like, just, I mean, not to go off on this tirade, but I got saved when I was 6 years old. I got down on my knees and I asked God to forgive me for all my horrible sins that I had committed until
the original sin over the baptism stuff?
What do you mean original sin?
That you're just born a sinner.
Yeah.
If you're not baptized, you'll go to hell.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think baptism was the go to hell thing. It was getting saved. You have to accept.
Well, that's it. Like, if your baby isn't baptized.
Yeah.
Because that's when somebody's like, okay, cool, so where do babies that aren't baptized go if they go to hell? And that's when you see a Christian go, well, they're not. I mean, they're not. No, you said that if they're not baptized.
Yeah.
Because I remember my friend had was raised very Catholic,
uh-huh.
Italian Catholic, and had his first son. And his parent, he was atheist or agnostic, but not raising religious. And he just telling his parents, like, no, tell my son he's going to hell. No, tell my new baby son he's going to hell.
Yeah.
No, tell his face.
It's crazy.
Tell his face he's going to hell.
I had to repent at 6 years old for all the horrible things I had done. Yeah.
Did you get baptized in a river?
No, no. Ours, we had a, like, above the, what do they call the pulpit? That's where the preacher stands.
Archaeological.
Yeah, whatever. The preacher's on the stage. We had a nice stage, right? Yeah. And then behind him was the wall with a cross, but built into that wall that you could get to from another room was a visible little bathtub.
Yeah.
And that's where and that's where we would get dunked into the bathtub, like in front of the whole church.
I always thought, you know, they always show like the evil person walking in a church.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, did you have the the water when you walked in, the holy water that you dip your hand in and make the sign of the cross?
No, I don't think that's a Baptist thing.
I always thought it'd be funny if like somebody was like smoking, walking in, she's like, you can't smoke in there. I'm like, oh, and, like, put it in there like it's an ashtray. Like, I just thought it would be hilarious. Like, seeing like a real vampy, like, lady who's clearly, like, representing evil walking into the Catholic church and just putting her cigarette out in the holy water. Because it looked like an ashtray when you walked right in.
Yeah.
It looked like an old, nice, brass ashtray. Huh. And you have to put your hand in the holy... Did I talk about it? I went to Rachel's brother's wedding, and he was getting... There, she was raised Mormon.
Uh-huh.
But he converted to Catholicism to marry his wife. Okay. So for once... I'm at a Catholic wedding, but I'm on the Mormon side.
Okay.
I see all that, so I'm like, yep, that's how it goes. And Mormons are looking at that like, what the fuck's going on over there? Mormons.
Yeah.
That they believe we each get our own cloud when we die.
Do they really?
Something like that. Mm. But for them to look like, what's going on? I'm like, yep, it's a very athletic religion. Dave, how you sleeping?
Sleeping, well, I'm indoors now, so that helps.
That's hell. You know what happens when you're indoors? You know what you need?
What?
Mattress.
Dude, tell me about it.
Yeah. Well, the good folks at Casper, they make mattresses.
That's cool.
And they just want you to get good sleep. They know good sleep makes the world go better.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you got to get these people, I'm glad that they're taking care of you. You know, that you spend one-third of your life sleeping. Do you know that?
Wow.
Sometimes I up that up. I think it might be half my life.
Yeah.
I slept for 10 and a half hours last night.
Wow.
So that's why they know that.
Uh-huh.
Casper knows that. And they're trying to make a sleep surface that cradles your natural geometry in all the right places. I've never heard of my body referred to as geometrical.
Uh-huh.
But hey, who doesn't like to have geometrical support?
Going
to
need a bigger protractor.
Yeah. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams. That foam, it's taking notes. And for a quality sleep surface with the right amount of both sink and bounce. Sink and bounce.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Uh-huh.
That's Hustle and Flow. Breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. That's a thing that I need. I a lot of sweat. I don't know what I'm dreaming about.
Huh.
I sweat a lot in the evening. It's got good reviews. It's got 4.8 stars on Amazon and Google. And it's the internet's favorite mattress. And you know what? The internet just loves a good sleep. They have two other mattresses, the Wave and the Essential. The Wave features a patent pending. Look out. They're working on it. Premium support system to mirror the natural shape of your body. There they are again. The Essential has a streamlined design at a price that won't keep you up at night. I get it. Come on, these guys. All designed, developed, and assembled in the U.S., if that is important to you. And are affordable prices because they cut out the middleman. That middleman, boy... He is really getting worked over.
Yeah.
That middleman got found out, and he's out of there.
Mrs. Middleman's not very happy about it.
No, middle Mrs.
Middle Mrs.
Middle woman. There's just nothing but middlemen.
Yeah.
That's who you see in line for the soup kitchen.
Yeah.
Hassle-free returns. Nobody wants to pay for their hassles. And delivered right to your door in a small, how do they do that size box? It's like a magic trick. Free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. Which is, it's always a good thing. If you don't like it, you can just go back. You get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/boogie, B-O-O-G-I-E. casper.com/boogie, using that code boogie at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. That's get $50. That's 50 bucks. And casper.com/boogie. You got it, baby.
And I spent so much time in church as a kid, and not just church, but all these weird church activities. We had RAs, and I still don't know what RA means. The letters R and A, but hey, it's
a resident advisor in college dorm.
Wednesday night, you got to go to RAs, and it was like, I think it was kind of like the Christian version of the Boy Scouts. Like there wasn't a lot of like biblical teachings or any other church. You know, it was just like, here's a safe space for little boys to go and, you know, goof off. But we had a couple of weird, and looking back on it now.
At the idea of a safe space for little boys being at the church.
Yeah. Looking back at it now, not that I'm accusing these guys, but like as an adult, it's like, what's up with those? There was a couple of grown men who kind of ran the thing, and it was just like, they're fucking weird.
Well, especially like Catholicism, like also, by the way, you'll never, like, we talked about that before. It's like probably what you know, you're raised so religiously, and then you have your heart's like, you know that you're a gay person, but then the way you're raised, like, oh, that's a sin. Well, then what a safe haven is to go where I'm not supposed to have sex anyway, so there's going to be no pressure as to why I'm not with a woman.
Yeah.
It's because I'm with the Lord, and yeah. then you've repressed something so much and have access and power over children. You know, it's kind of like, well, hey, fuck, hey, you're a gay guy, you got to keep it quiet, and here's a lot of power, and also here's this unending sea of children.
That's rough.
Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. I went to Boise this weekend. Shout out to Boise.
How was that?
Great. I promised the mom I was going to give you a big hug. So stand up, Dave.
Oh, what? What are we? What's happening?
You big hug from Boise.
Oh, okay.
This is what they said.
All right.
Come on, buddy.
That's sweet.
Thanks a lot, Boise.
They said, give Dave a big hug.
Okay.
They did. I said, you know what? I will. I'll do it on air so they know.
We don't hug enough, Kyle.
We don't. We see each other. You know, but then we got one there. Thanks, Boise.
That's good.
Hell of a fun time. 208 Festival. A lot of fun people. I was only there Saturday night. Flew up Saturday. Came back yesterday.
Good times?
Yeah.
That's awesome,
real good
man.
Times.
Never been to Boise. I'd love to go. Anybody?
And then I went to see a show at Liquid Laughs, the club there. And that show, honestly, you could have farted on the mic and people would have gone nuts. It was like,
really?
It was like one of those shows like this. You had every comic that was like, I just want to hang out. And then, you know, when you're watching the show, you're like, man, what if I could get some time?
Yeah, one of those.
Oh, boy, this is going to be a real self-esteem builder.
Yeah.
It was just, people were tearing it up.
That's awesome.
Who did I see go up on that one? Oh, man. Well, on my show was a show, I'm gonna mess up the names. Atsuko, I don't remember her last name. She just shows in L.A., and God damn it, I can't remember the names. I don't know. Real funny. Mike Carrozza.
Oh, yeah.
Mike?
From Montreal. Nice dude.
Super nice dude.
I know Mike.
Always, I would see him, and he was always working for the festival.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, he's emceeing the show. I'm like, I didn't even know he was doing comedy. Crushed it.
Great.
Fun, silly little guy.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Big fan of comedy, too. Like,
yeah.
He's the kind of guy you can talk comedy with, and, like, he's an encyclopedia.
Well, and also, I don't know where, but he's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
And good for him.
Damn it, I'm forgetting the people's names, and I feel terrible for that. But it was a great show, so thank you, Boise, for coming out for that.
Well, that sounds fun, man.
What else happened then?
I don't know, man.
I tell you, I saw a guy reading. That was the weekend before. Reading the Mason's Oath on the plane.
Yeah, yeah.
That's old news. There's nothing exciting this time in airports.
Oh man, I don't know. Pretty low key week for me. I'm down 15 pounds. Just check in with the Dave Meltdown.
Yeah,
I'm down 15. So still at this point,
how you holding on?
Suitcase off the Queen Mary. I cheated the other day, but on purpose. I had a cheat day Thursday, and I had a little booze,
yeah,
but I had some Jacks and Cokes.
Football?
Yeah. I'm sorry. It was for the Falcons on Thursday night, and they lost. But yeah, had a couple drinks, so that, you know, that felt good to kind of enjoy that. You know, but still, you know, the next day back into it. Also went to you ever been to over in Boyle Heights, Manuel's El Tepeyac Cafe?
Is that the real, real tiny one with outdoor seating?
There's an outdoor patio.
I'm going to look it up, but I may have been.
Tiny spot, giant burrito. Katie and I shared a $28 burrito. It's one of those novelty.
Wait, how much?
It's $28. But it literally could have fed 8 people. Like this thing, like literally a 5-6 pound burrito. It was gigantic. Like... Not like a big burrito, like we know a big burrito. Not like Gus's truck box, lunch box, where it's like, oh, that's a big burrito. This is a novelty.
Like, get your friends.
Cartoonishly sized burrito. Yeah. But, oh, man, good. With the chili verde splattered on top. And, oh, man, good times.
Man, well, I think I went there. I think I rode my bike out there one day. And, I was looking up. I wanted to look up best burritos.
And then to cap off the day, had a little ice cream.
Ooh,
dude, okay, I know I talk a lot of hyperbole when it comes to food. Seriously, the best ice cream I've ever had.
Where?
Right here in town.
Was it gourmet?
Yep. Like, can you guess? Right there on Hillhurst. It's kind of a trendy spot. Jenny's.
No, I've heard about it.
Dude, you got to go. Jenny's ice cream. This is the flavor I had. Now, I'm like, there's a couple of these kind of hipster gourmet ice cream spots around town, Scoops and all this, with these weird flavors. So I'm usually not a big fan of, like, the kind of the freak flavors. But just, dude, brown butter and almond bark or almond toffee, almond something. Sounds kind of weird.
Yeah.
Dude, brown butter and almond toffee, like, mind blown. Just the quality of it and the flavor of it was like, I can't believe that I'm eating this right now.
That, the fancy ice cream, I get, like, that's when I'm like, ooh. And I see the fun, weird flavors, and I get on it. Ricotta cheese.
What?
Get in there.
Really?
Get your face.
I love ricotta cheese.
Kill the guy working behind the counter. Put your face in that whole tub.
Where's this at?
Anywhere you can find it.
Ricotta cheese.
Ricotta cheese ice cream. Lavender ice cream.
See, but lavender, come on.
But that's the beauty of ice cream. You can taste it. They'll let you taste it.
Okay, yeah.
Like, that's... What a fantastic operation. Mm-hmm. Would you like to have a taste of it? And then you'd be like, oh, that's weird, but let me taste it. Oh, I've been wrong this whole time.
So lavender was good?
Oh, everything in it.
It feels like you'd be eating soap or something.
I know, but then you can taste it, and you're like, there's a reason they made this into ice cream.
But yeah, man, I hadn't had ice cream in a long time. That's not something, I think I mentioned this before, hard to believe, but I don't have a huge sweet tooth. I'm not a big sweets guy. I mean, I ain't going to turn one down, but it's like when I'm wanting to cheat or whatever, dessert's not at the top of my list.
Only ice cream when I've been walking by it and being like, you know what? You never get an ice cream. Mm-hmm. Go have an ice cream. Then I have an ice cream. I'm like, why am I not having ice cream
all the time? Yeah, ice cream's good.
Well, we filled this episode up with 32 minutes of bullshit.
Ice cream's good.
Ice cream's good. Keep listening to Boogie Monster where we sort out paranormal things. You ever have ice cream that's got cheese in it?
Should we get into it, man?
Let's get into it.
Go ahead before
the topic. Tomorrow a movie comes out called The Hunt for the Skinwalker.
Really?
A documentary. I was listening on the Mysterious Universe podcast. Uh-huh. Brought it up. George Knapp.
Okay.
I forget the other filmmaker's name, but it comes out tomorrow. Well, today when this comes out, and I want to watch that because we should like look into resources other than three fucking BuzzFeed articles about stuff. I tried reading that book about the guy who like saw the spooky stuff on the border patrol.
Okay.
So far I'm like 40 pages in and it's just this fucking cowboy talking about him catching illegal immigrants and boy, sometimes they laugh with us. Yeehaw! So he just sounds like, I don't know how I'm going to like believe this fucking, like people that see paranormal stuff, I want him to be like, have more of an open heart. And this guy just seems like a fucking cowboy.
Hmm.
And I read that book about the Dyatlov Pass incident, but then I forgot what I read. So we'll have to cover that eventually. But this movie's coming out. It's about the Skinwalker Ranch. The one we talked about, that old Bobby Bigelow bought.
Mm-hmm.
And all the stuff that went on there. And so...
Is it in the theater or is it like streaming?
No, it's just going to be on streaming platform.
Okay,
maybe
cool.
We got to get a little tuned up. We'll watch it.
Okay, that sounds fun. I like that, man.
But anyway, today's subject.
Today's topic is a fun one. Another, the last few weeks, I've just been digging into emails. And the listeners, keep them coming. BoogieMonsterPodcast@gmail.com. If there's something you want to hear us stumble through, throw a topic at me. But it's been some good topics requested recently. And someone requested the... Attuck script. It's Attuck is the name of the movie or the script. Attuck is a unproduced screenplay written by this guy named Todd Carroll, and it was an adaptation of a 1963 novel called The Incomparable Attuck by Mordecai Rickler. It's about an Inuit hunter. It's a comedy. It's just this kind of big budget comedy script. This Inuit hunter who moves to New York City, just kind of a fish out of water scenario. But it's this screenplay that has been tied to 5 or 6 famous deaths. Mm-hmm. So this script's been around since the 1970s. And well, first of all, before I get into this, the bigger picture on today's topic would be book curses. So do you know what a book curse is before I really get into this etuc?
Is it like a curse that's on a book?
Yes. Back in back when books were first starting to get made, back whatever century that was, I think medieval times, you know, they literally say sometimes it would take a year to make a book before they had the type and all that. Like somebody, I guess they would have to handwrite. Yeah. And then, you know, a lot of them had like really intricate, each page had a nice border design. So some of these books took a year to make. Yeah. And in regards of, you know, even if it didn't take that long, there just weren't many books around because before they were mass producing them with type and whatnot. So somebody equated it to like stealing a book back then would be about on par with like stealing a car today. Like it's a big deal if you got your book stolen.
Yeah.
So a book curse was an employed method that many of these authors and bookmakers, towards the end of the process, they would just cast a curse upon the book for anybody who stole it. So if this book was stolen or manipulated in any way, and a lot of the curses were actually written out either towards the beginning or towards the end of the books. And there's just tons of different.
Would you only be cursed if you read the curse?
That's a good question. I don't know. But well, and it also, this whole concept of cursing, like, so that I thought, like, to curse something, you had to be like a wizard or some sort of, you know, not just, hey, I wrote a book and then I put a curse on it in case my roommate steals it.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's a whole, curses in general is something we could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Can't you... hire someone to curse. You know, you can hire a witch doctor. Like,
yeah.
I want that person cursed, and you give them the money, and they put the curse on them.
Huh. Yeah, maybe they would do that, you know, rather than curse it themselves. But an example of, like, a curse, they're usually pretty brief. Like, towards the end of a book, it may say something like, steal not this book, my honest friend, for fear the gallows should be your end. And when you die, the Lord will say, and where's the book you stole away? So just, you know, a little 3 or 4 line thing towards the end of the book. And then another one made this.
You still had to read the whole thing.
Yeah.
That brings me back to who opened for me at the Egyptian Theater, because I want to get the names right.
Uh-huh.
Atsuko Akatsuka and Carly Ballerini. Carly Ballerini had a very funny joke about being, like, about her mom being a witch.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, girls are just witches now. Really? You're just a witch? You just call it, like... My mom made me deliver a muffin that she made with her own menses to one of her crushes, and then I had to watch him eat it. Are you that kind of witch? And it was this hilarious joke. Carly Ballerini. I'm trying to get her name right because she was fucking hilarious.
That's funny.
Oh, was that Zuko? Anyway, that's who opened for me, and it was a great show. And it ties in with the idea of curse.
Yeah. Man, that's I wonder if that's a true story.
I don't know how you're going to make up the weirdness.
That's like...
People are laughing at the weirdness of it. Uh-huh. It's like, that's from a real place. Those details all put together.
That's like in that movie. Did you ever see that movie, The Help, with Emma Stone? And,
no.
It was about like 1950s or 60s, set in the South.
Oh, yeah.
And she just... It was a journalist writing a newspaper story about the maids, the live-in maids, and how they were treated and whatnot. But anyway... One of the maids gets pissed at her boss or employer and makes a chocolate pie with some of her own Duke. So
really?
I thought I would share that story with you, Kyle.
That's why you don't fuck with people serving you food.
Yeah. But
well,
that's...
This Carly's was to get the guy to love her.
Yeah.
That was that kind of curse.
Huh.
You can go out here. There's a place, unrelated, a place called Mike's Cafe out in Panorama City. It'll put a Snicker bar and a burger.
Ooh.
Sounds weird. It's delicious. Next door to it was just a Santeria store.
Really?
Walked in there, and it was only just little packets of potions, and they had one of the Santa de Muerte, which is, that's what I learned in Mexico. I was asking, because I thought the Virgin de Guadalupe or the Virgin Mary, that kind of, you know, the very classic imagery that you would only, like, you would always see with Latin American stuff, that was, like, the main one.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But then, you know how you see the one now? It's with the robes, but it's a skull.
Yeah.
It's holding a glove. That's the Santa de Muerte, the saint of death.
Hmm.
And they said that one got popular because that was the saint that all the drug dealers and the cartel would take, because that saint was like, eh, if you're going to kill somebody because you're supporting your family, that's okay.
Wow.
And so the drug dealers are like, well, that one works for us. That one's way better.
Man.
I'm killing people, but it's only because I'm protecting my family. My family's business.
Man, way to manufacture a justification there.
They cover some of it in that show Dark Tourist. I don't know if I was telling you about that.
Yeah, I saw a couple episodes of that. I watched the one about Milwaukee. That was good.
Okay,
about Dahmer and all that. Yeah.
But anyway, so there's some little curse action there. And this, so that store had the Santa Muerte statue,
uh-huh.
and it's just all money put around it. So you put a dollar on it, and you make a wish.
Wow.
So it's kind of like a... like a religious
story. Huh. Yeah, I don't know much about Santeria. I got to look into that. Reminds me, shout out to Ian Carmel, tweeted, if you're in a Sublime cover band, you do in fact have to practice Santeria. So stupid. Anyway, back to this script, Attic. Off, an adaptation of the 1963 novel, The Incomparable Attic. Like I said, just a fish out of water. All accounts, not a terrific script, but just kind of a big budget. You can take an Inuit and put them in New York and watch the mischief and the hilarity ensue. The dude who wrote it, Todd Carroll. Is it Todd? Yeah. He wrote it with one particular star in mind, John Belushi. You might know from Jim Belushi's big brother. How's Jim Belushi still working? Anyway.
He was running a comedy club in Chicago, and I heard he was a real creep.
Oh, my God. After reading the script and wanting to play the lead role, John Belushi, as we all know, overdosed back in 1982. He was only 33 years old. So he's going to do this script, and I don't know how soon. I don't think it was like immediately. They hadn't even shot anything. But so he dies, okay? So he dies, obviously, of a drug overdose. Now, the whole pattern here that I'm about to lay out, the question is this a curse or is this just a coincidence? Or is it even not even a coincidence? Just like, yeah, all these guys, you could kind of see what was coming. Anyway, so I'll just list off okay, after John Belushi died, then a few years later, I think in 87, they had tapped Sam Kinison to play this lead role. Mm-hmm. Are you a Kinison fan? I never understood. He got big when I was too young, and just the weird hats and the screaming and the long jackets. I didn't get it.
Doesn't hold any water.
Yeah,
for me.
A lot of people look at him as a legend. I'm not going to shit on him just because I haven't really absorbed his specials or anything. But nothing's ever really caught me and been like, oh, that's funny.
You're like, all right, you were the backstory is very interesting.
Yeah, it's a preacher's son or something.
I don't think there's anything particularly clever. I mean, as far as outside of the norm of what comedy was, of like, oh, blood, my wife, and mm-hmm. And you're screaming and doing that.
Like, imagine having to do that every show. Like, this forced anger, this forced scream. Like,
I know.
That'd be exhausting.
I'd be so upset I'd drive my car off a highway and head into Lake Tahoe.
Sam Kinison, let's see. I think it was in 87. They had actually started some production on this movie. So they got to the point where, they were ready to start shooting. And I think it only lasted about a week because he showed up with a script and was going to make all these changes. And his manager said he had the creative freedom to do so. And then the studio was like, what are you talking about? And I think after about a week, they fired him. So, but they actually, they made it to production on this one. And and as we know, okay, that was 87. So about 5 years later in 92 is when he died. When he hit head on, he was going to Tahoe or Vegas or something. And just car wreck.
Yeah, I'm just making a bad joke.
But. No, but I think he did die of a car wreck. And I think it was somewhere around the Nevada, California border.
Yeah.
But also the legend has it that terrible crash. I think somebody else in his car. The other driver was 17 years old and DUI. Hit him head on. Not unlike what happened to me. 19-year-old DUI. Hit me head on. But apparently, Kinison got out of the car, staggered around a little bit, and was like talking to somebody who wasn't there. Like, no, I don't want to go yet. I don't want to go yet.
Oh,
and then,
really?
Okay. Yeah, like some witnesses said that he was like mumbling and looking at a place and there was nobody there. And like he was having a one-sided conversation. So take that for whatever it's worth. So, all right, written for Belushi.
That's how he went at it. Oh! Oh! I don't want him! Oh! 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 No!
It's like, what a weird gimmick.
I'm not going to die, you bitch! What? You fucking bitch!
Take it easy, dude. Like, I see clips of him, and I'm like, what?
It's a
I mean, was that? Well, I'm sure that's how it started, but like, I think he just developed this persona and probably just felt like he had to.
Yeah.
So they write this script. They want Belushi to do it. Before he can really even get into it, he dies of an OD at 33. A few years later, they get Sam Kinison. He gets fired from the project. A couple years later, he dies. Then in 94, there's apparently, I don't know how far they got into it, but they were talking to John Candy. Oh, John Candy, what a...
That one hurt.
God, that one did hurt.
Why don't they try talking to some healthier actors for this role?
Exactly. Candy was reading the script while in the very early stages of him even receiving the script and reading it, and I think he'd already verbally committed to doing it, he died of a heart attack at 43.
John Candy hurt. There was like a new, like, you could canonize someone.
Yeah.
John Candy.
Man.
That's a saint.
What's your favorite John Candy movie?
Man, you know what I like? And it got panned. I like The Great Outdoors.
I loved it.
I loved Summer Rental.
Yeah, Summer Rental was good.
Summer Rental.
I do, yeah.
When sailing movies were all the rage.
Yeah. Great Outdoors was so good.
His role in Vacation as the security guard at Wally World.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
All of them. So much heart. Yeah. Funny. So much heart.
Yeah.
So much like where you're still like, I think I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry at the end of Uncle Buck. I'm going to cry at the end of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah.
You know what I got to watch that I kept reading? I was reading, it wasn't a full biography, but something about him. About how he was in JFK, he was in Oliver Stone.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was so nervous about it because he was being a real actor and he was so nervous about getting the accent right and doing all
He did
stuff.
Great.
Yeah, I want to watch it just because I'm like, oh, I need to round out my John Candy film.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, Oliver Stone. He's like, I got to see all the John Candy movies.
Yeah.
It's going to include JFK.
What else was he in? He was in some stuff that like had real small roles.
God, damn it, John Candy.
Yeah, I loved him. 43 when he... I mean, yeah,
Space
he was... Spaceballs. I never seen that.
You never saw Spaceballs?
Nope, and everybody gives me shit for seeing it.
I wonder if it would hold up. I mean, we're not even talking about his SCTV stuff.
Yeah.
But... Oh, Splash!
Splash.
He's a shitty brother in Splash.
That's the one with Tom Hanks and the mermaid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's got so many... Home Alone? I forget what he's on.
Home Alone?
Yeah. Harry Crumb. I got free tickets, I think, from The Loop, that radio station. Serendipitous.
Mm-hmm.
To go see who's Harry Crumb.
Who was he in Home Alone? I can't remember.
I think he was like a neighbor or something.
Huh. That was in his prime. I wonder why he wasn't casting a bigger role for that. That'd been funny if he was, like, if he played the Daniel Stern character.
Bruce just millions.
Just this obese cat burglar.
Joe Pesci showed up.
Early. Yeah.
Brewster's Millions. That's another classic.
Is that Richard Pryor?
Yeah.
I never saw that one.
Yeah. You never saw Brewster's
Millions? No.
Oh, Stripes?
I know the premise.
Stripes.
Yeah, Stripes, of course.
Blues Brothers. Orange Whip. Three Orange Whips.
Yeah.
Oh, what are we doing? We're just going to read Jen King. I ain't going to go on with the story.
Sorry. So anyway.
Excited about John King.
So you can see a pattern's forming here. John Belushi's supposed to do this. He dies of an overdose. Kinison, he's supposed to do it. A couple years later, he dies in a car wreck. Ironic that he didn't die of an overdose. Then
I guess he was sober at the time.
Yeah.
He was turning his life around.
Yeah. You know, he was only 38, Sam Kinison, when he died. He looked like he was 55.
When I look at people, I'm like, when you were a kid,
yeah.
No, you're all old.
Yeah. Like, I'm older now than like that. Like my whole childhood, I thought Sam Kinison was old as shit, and I'm like, he was.
Yeah.
I'm older than he ever lived.
Like the whole world has destroyed you.
Crazy.
You know, I can confirm this from today. You know who looks good, and I don't know how old she is. Margaret Cho. She's over at the Barry's boot camp.
Really? Yeah.
And I told him, like, oh, it's Kyle. We worked together. He's like, oh yeah, you were just in place. Anyway, so it's been nice to meet.
Oh, Margaret. Hey, Kyle.
What's up, buddy?
Letting you know that today's episode brought to you by Loot Crate. You remember Loot Crate?
I do.
Yeah, they've been with us for a while. Loot Crate, a monthly subscription box delivered directly to your door with exclusive pop culture collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Crate.
Apparel and gear.
Uh-huh. Yeah, both. I mean, apparel could be like socks, but then gear could be like a rope or something. I don't know. You never know. Not sure if they have a rope.
Socks and a rope. You know the pop culture stuff the kids love, socks and rope.
Uh-huh. Well, two things that, you know, you're probably going to need at some point, but I digress. We won't get into that. Loot Crate, they curate and design everything themselves. This is no secondhand middleman crap. You can't find this stuff anywhere. It's custom. It's exclusive to Loot Crate. And no matter what you're geeking out about, they've got it for you. They've been sending us boxes that I haven't relayed to you yet. I just keep your stuff, too. Yeah. But the one they sent last week, it's a monthly thing, but I got it last week. A T-shirt in every crate, by the way. Every month, you're guaranteed to get a T-shirt. So you just tell them what size you are. That way you get the right size. But this month, Office Space T-shirt. Very cool. Okay. Like we were talking about PC load letter and some reference to that. But always a T-shirt. There's usually some cool socks. I've gotten some cool underwear. Apparel and gear, man, really. And books, little figurine, like bobblehead stuff. So whatever you're into, anime, gaming, whatever, I think they can pretty much cover the whole spectrum. There's like 16 different crates that you can sign up for. Very cool. Over 30 million crates sold, by the way. People dig this stuff. And Loot Crate, they pack $50 of value into each crate for less than $20 a month. So that's a heck of a deal. And these crates sell out pretty quick. So you only have until Wednesday, September 19th at 6 p.m. Eastern to guarantee your order for this next crate or it's gone forever. And every month, all kind of cool stuff. And if you subscribe now, you go to lootcrate.com/boogie, enter code boogie to save an exclusive 15% off your entire subscription. That's B-O-O-G-I-E. Go to lootcrate.com, code boogie, 15% off. Do it now.
Yeah, stop screwing around.
Yeah, get your gear and get your apparel.
Get your socks and rope.
John Candy, he dies. Of course, so far we got Belushi, Kinison, and Candy all involved with this script, all died untimely deaths. However, you could other than Sam Kinison dying in a car wreck, you could kind of see this coming. John Candy, only 43 when he died. That's another one who I just thought was a lot older. All right, now we got this guy named Michael O'Donohue. Michael O'Donohue was a writer and a comedian, and he was friends with Belushi and Kinison, and he read the script. There was some rumor that maybe he even punched it up, did some additions to it before recommending it he's the one that recommended it to both Belushi and Kinison. He died of a cerebral hemorrhage at the age of 54 back in 1994. So there's another guy. It's four people connected to the script that died. Fast forward a couple years, Chris Farley, another one who fits the pattern.
Yeah.
But a huge fan of Belushi. It was kind of known that he was a big Belushi guy and ironically died at the same age of pretty much the same cause. But he was about to accept this role. They were talking to him back in 97. He was going to accept, in 97, right before he died. He was supposed to, I guess he verbally committed to doing it. Then he died. And then get this, the sixth connection, when Farley was in talks with whomever to do this movie, he gave the script to Phil Hartman because there was a supporting role that he wanted Phil Hartman to play. Hartman, I guess, read it, liked it, was somewhat interested in it. And before anything could happen on his end, obviously in early 98 is when he met his. Oh, what a horrible story that was. That murder suicide by his wife. But so we got Belushi, Kinison, John Candy, this Michael O'Donohue. I don't know what his health was, but Chris Farley and Phil Hartman. Phil Hartman, of course, you know, not really a drug related death. Yeah.
I'm going to, all right. It's easy to go with why, like, a curse thing, but also, Like, think about, like, we need a fun fat guy for this role.
Yeah.
That means hundreds of other fun fat guys read the script and lived. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Given the way Hollywood works. Like, you go on an audition.
Yeah.
And you're just in a room, just at that time, at the time it's scheduled, with 30 people that are just like you.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we want a fun fat guy, fun boisterous fat guy. Yeah, okay. So already, of course, they're all like in line with it. Michael Downey was a head writer of Saturday Night Live, the first head writer of Saturday Night Live. So I'm going to say it's a lot of coincidences.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I wonder if, like, it's got a little bit of the Confederacy of Dunces vibe to it.
Yeah, well, that's... I was just about to bring that up.
For some reason, they just... Nobody's died, but they just can't get it made.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about how much stuff... That is one of the frustrating things. You look at what movie gets made, mm-hmm. and you're like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Of all the scripts, of all the writers, and all the people, there's just an unrequited, unpaid industry of people churning stuff out, just trying to get it read.
This is what made it.
And you're going to be like, this one, huh? Because, oh, so-and-so's attached to it. So-and-so said they'll do it. When Confederacy of Dunces is like, yeah, why can't that get made?
Well, that's the thing, too. Not to
keep trying.
Single out one guy, but, like, that's why I'm just so over, like, Adam Sandler. Like, he's been at the level for 20 years where he could get any movie made. If he attaches himself to it or becomes executive producer, so many good movies that never got made, he could have gotten made. But yet, the shit he's churning out, this is what he chooses to do.
I heard him say, like, he just gets, he's like, I get paid to go on vacation with my friends. I'm like, man, I can't fault you for gaming the system. He's already like, watch it, don't watch it, I don't care. I'm going to set it in Hawaii and remember my five friends there.
But why not every now and then try to make something really good?
Because that would be hard.
Why not?
That would be difficult. I heard his special that he did over at Dynasty Typewriter was actually fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty serious. Like, it was really good.
Well, I mean, I can't shit on him. Like,
I think he's the, you know what? He's going to work and getting paid.
Yeah. I mean, his early stuff, those comedy albums he put out in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean, those were so ingrained in my teenage years, just all those stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to them now. It's like they were incredibly stupid. But, like, when you're a 15-year-old boy.
Oh, yeah. And again, the same reason once in a while you got to scratch that edge. Once in a while you got to throw your computer across the room and maybe watch Billy Madison. Maybe steal some schnapps out of your parents' liquor cabinet and watch Billy Madison.
Schnapps. Attuck is not the only movie that has, or not even a movie, script.
I want to read the book.
That has been rumored to have been cursed. I'll throw you out a couple movies that people feel like were cursed. Classic movie, Rebel Without a Cause. Well, James Dean, of course, we know his untimely death. I think he was like 22 or 23. 23. He was so young. But did you realize that all four of the major leads in that movie met early deaths? None of them made it to 43 years old. James Dean, this guy named Sal Mineo, Nick Adams, and, of course, Natalie Wood. I forgot she was in that, but Natalie Wood, she had her weird death on the boat there. Yeah. None of the four leads made it to age 43. How crazy is that? So that's
Sal. Was he? He wasn't Charles Manson, was he? How did he die?
Actor Sal Mineo was stabbed in an alley behind his apartment building and killed instantly. A pizza delivery man was arrested and convicted of the crime. Several motives for the murder were considered, including robbery, although Mineo was left with money, jewelry, and car keys on his person.
That's what it was. Okay.
That's a horrible way to go. Poltergeist. Boy, that movie scared the shit out of me when I was a kid.
The
Poltergeist, 1982. That movie.
A Ghost BMX bike. They gave that little girl a hutch, and I heard about Ghost BMX. I'll look it up.
What do you mean? What do you mean, Ghost BMX bike?
It's like a cursed BMX bike because it belonged to the little girl from Poltergeist.
Whoa. Okay. This one here. Four actors died during or immediately following the filming of Poltergeist. Heather O'Rourke, she played Carol Ann, the little girl abducted by Ghost. In 1988, then 13-year-old. Heather O'Rourke died of cardiac pulmonary arrest and septic shock. the result of an undetected intestinal blockage. Dominic Dunn, is it Dunn or Dune? I think it's Dunn. She played the older sister in the film. She was strangled by her ex-boyfriend during a brutal argument. She was 21. Two other cast members met tragedy during the franchise, but their deaths were not at all mysterious. They both died from long-standing illnesses. So, yeah, four people from that movie died, early deaths. And then the one that I had heard about prior to looking into any of this, well, two, actually, The Exorcist and The Omen. Did you see the original Omen?
I did.
Yeah, that was pretty creepy.
And it's September. We're getting into...
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, a lot of people died. I won't bore you with all the details, but The Omen, just crazy deaths. And then, like, a bunch of near deaths.
Well...
I'm trying to think here. Where's the good...
I'm still looking up this BMX bike. I saw it somewhere.
The Exorcist.
There it is, Haunted Hutch.
Okay.
No, this website won't load. So Hutch, they gave it to her. Oh, the guy has it, and he's got the... This is a picture of her posing on it with the little race outfit. And he's got the bike. The guy, this poser's like, my girlfriend hates it, but it's not going anywhere.
Huh?
Just a sweet old Hutch, man. Early 80s Hutch race bike.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, yeah. All right.
What was the bike I had that I thought was so cool? The white one? It was all white and it had like white wheels. Sigma?
It was a Huffy.
Huffy Sigma?
Yeah, with the spoke covers.
Yeah.
The white disc?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Huffy Sigma.
Yeah. I remember I got one of those for Christmas when I was like 9 or 10.
Yep.
So rad.
Right there.
Boom. That's it.
You got the shit, man. I remember those things popping around.
But I do remember it looking so cool, and then I remember just after a few weeks, like, man, this thing kind of rides like shit.
Yeah, it's a Huff. It was a bad bike. They did not hold up. Yeah, it goes road to Huffy. It did not last long. Anyway,
so right, well, what do you think? Can a script, can a book be cursed? I mean... Obviously, you can say, yeah, it's a coincidence that, like, Belushi, Kennison, yeah, Candy, all these guys died.
Unhealthy partiers died after reading a script that requires that particular body type. That's like saying, oh, man, competitive eaters are cursed with digestive problems.
Yeah.
It's like, no, they did. That's, or maybe that's not right. But, like, yeah, they're looking at the same type of person. That person's a large, overweight.
Mm-hmm.
And comedian type, which comedians, not healthy food-wise or, you know, drugs, alcohol-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to lean on coincidence. It is a little bit spooky that, you know, where is it now? Who else has read it?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think they pretty much shelved it at this point. They're like, eh.
But nobody's shelving. Hollywood's like, it's cursed. It's because they don't think they can make money. That's, again, why can't they get it made? If people like them, that... Confederacy of Dunces, I don't know why it can't get made. It's one of the few books that really made me laugh out loud. So Sisters Brothers is getting made into a movie. That was a very funny book.
I don't know
now
that.
I'm going to read this book.
Hmm. But yeah.
I mean, curses in general, I don't know. They talk about, you know, that's the pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those guys befell curses. People fucking die, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it's... And this was over several years. It's not like it was it all happened. I mean, if you want to look into that, who was it, the Allman Brothers?
Yeah, well...
Skinner. Who was the plane crash?
Well, the Skinner was a plane crash.
Yeah.
But Allman Brothers, Dwayne Allman died on a motorcycle accident.
Didn't he die where the plane crashed?
No.
There was some weird thing, like somebody died at the side of the plane crash.
Well, Dwayne Allman died before the Leonard Skinner plane crash.
Yeah, you gotta lean heavy.
But Dwayne Allman died on a motorcycle, and then a year later, almost to the day, his bass player died in a motorcycle accident not far from where Dwayne died.
Maybe
that's pretty crazy. But yeah, with Skinner, you know, they lost three band members and two crew, and that was 1977, I believe. They crashed in a swamp in Louisiana. Get this. Did you know this little fun fact? The plane that they crashed in, they had just bought it from Aerosmith. And a couple of the bandmates or crew people were like, "Ah, this is kind of a shitty plane. We shouldn't." Casey Gaines, one of the female backup singers, she died. She wanted to take a bus because she was like, this plane, I don't know anything about planes, but this plane looks like it sucks. And but yeah, it was Aerosmith's plane. So yeah. But
Aerosmith.
Man, early Aerosmith, not bad. Their later work is pretty cringeworthy.
Doped up
but
in
man,
the 70s,
dude.
They were going for it.
Man, Rats in the Cellar, that kind of stuff.
Although I did the Alicia Silverstone ballads.
Mm-hmm.
One of those came on. And I was like, man, I remember this.
What, Crazy or Crying?
Crying! Yeah, something got me. I was like, ah, man, I remember this
one. Oh, man. It's a good new good Skinner doc, by the way. Anybody's got Prime, Amazon Prime. It's I forgot the name of it. It's one of their lyrics, but good new Skinner doc. Skinner, very misunderstood band.
Really?
Yeah, people shit on them for the American flag, the Confederate flag. Back then, that was just it was their label forcing it down their throat to, like, they were trying to, both them and their label were trying to brand themselves as, like, Southern rock. This is a Southern band, and, you know, what
also,
better
people
way?
Like people were not putting themselves in other people's shoes at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Duke's a Hazard. Oh, yeah. That's a flag because they're from the South.
Yeah.
And it took, like, people go like, hey, by the way, remember also the South was because of slavery? Like, oh, yeah. I wasn't intentionally ignoring that. It's like you just didn't put yourself in the shoes of black people having to see that all the time going, yeah, that just meant. Also, it's a second place trophy.
That's true. Yeah, it's true.
That's what somebody made fun of. Like, it's funny that, like, people are upset about, like, tearing down statues and the flag.
Yeah.
It's like, you fucking lost.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want kids to have participation trophies, but you're going to cover your whole area with your second place monuments.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going away. It's written down.
Yeah.
We know who they were.
By the way, I'm in no way defending the display of the Confederate flag. Not a fan. Because now it's very clear that, first of all, the second the KKK and white supremacists co-opt your flag, how about you find a new fucking flag? It doesn't make you any less Southern that these flags are coming down off of government buildings.
Yeah.
But back then, with Skinner, it didn't have the connotation it had today. And if you listen to some of the lyrics, like Sweet Home Alabama, that's such a misunderstood song. In Birmingham, they love the governor. Boo, boo, boo. That means we're anti-George Wallace, so I don't know how much clearer.
The whole thing about them getting upset with Neil Young, it's like, they were pals. They were just taking a fun jab.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's more just clickbait bullshit.
Yeah. But yeah,
okay. I don't know about curses, but, you know.
Well, and I actually researched this time, and I wanted to find an answer to the question of, like, who they thought put a curse on this script and why.
That's a good
unanswered question. But, like, who put the curse on it and why? Like, why this stupid movie? And I don't know. This might be a reach here, but it's about the main character is an Inuit going to Alaska. I don't know if there's some old Inuit curse exploiting their culture. I don't know. But,
well, and Mordecai Rickler. Let's see what else is. What happened to him? He wrote it.
Oh, yeah.
Why is he all right?
Mordecai, that's a cool name.
Why is he fine? Yeah, that guy lived 70 fucking years.
Maybe he's the one that, I don't know. Maybe he didn't want it. He didn't want his book turning into a script, and then he cursed it.
Yeah, this guy got away with it. Fucking, that's fine.
Man,
you got me. That's a weird one.
What's your favorite Chris Farley movie?
Oh, man.
Or SNL sketch. I loved, ironically, Matt Foley, Van Down by the River.
Oh, yeah.
That was so good. And I've never heard that one, by the way.
It's all very physical.
I think that was his first one.
Was it?
Yeah, his first SNL sketch, I think, was the Chippendales one. And he was just balls to the wall. Yeah, I'll take my shirt off.
Yeah, went big about it.
Oh, man. Sucks that he's gone. And Phil Hartman. Good Lord. Any sketch Phil Hartman was in was going to be good. Like, that dude.
Any Simpsons.
Just chops. Yeah.
Simpsons.
Yeah. Just so much chops. But yeah, so anyway, I don't know. Who's to say? I mean, it's a hell of a coincidence, but yeah, but you're right.
Why, like, is it the people that want to make, why is it the people want to just act in it? The, you know, the cursed ones.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, buddy. Let me vent about a commercial real quick. All right. Yes, thank you, everybody who sent me links to... Last week, I was complaining about the Discover commercial, and they're like, well, it means that, you know, the first couple commercials, or whatever the tagline was, we treat you like you treat you, yeah. And that's all fine and dandy. But my point is, in the recent ones, they don't mention that tagline. Like, how arrogant of Discover to think that, like, we're going to remember their earlier commercials and connect the dot, like... I don't know. Just say it. Say the stupid tagline if you want me to make... I'll stop on that one. Got another one that's annoying me. All right. And I understand what you said last week. I'm just giving free publicity to these idiots.
What TV are you watching that still has commercials?
Most of it is from my Major League Baseball app.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You got to sit through commercials during the innings changeover.
Netflix ain't giving you Discover commercials. Yeah.
By the way, that Hulu, man, $3 extra to not have commercials, that's the best $3 a month you'll ever spend. I think it's $3 or $4.
Just trying to watch the fucking Simpsons.
Yeah, it's like $7 or $8 with commercials and $11, $12 without. Anyway, there's this new commercial I keep seeing, Roman. It's one of those new, like, you know, don't be ashamed about ED. You know, it's like it's an ED, erectile dysfunction pill. Yeah. But here's the thing. All the actors are like 26. Is that Hollywood being so in love with millennials that even on a product that's meant for older men, they're going to cast millennials?
No, because maybe it's like, listen, you drink, you party, your dick's not going to work.
You think that's what it is?
Fucking, I know that's what it is, dog.
Well, you're not 26 anymore. You did all that when you was 26. I never... And by the way...
I was getting dick pill samples out of a doctor definitely in my 30s.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, 30s, yeah, I can see, but... Here's my old, I'm not going to say I've never dabbled in that, but like,
yeah,
why not?
It's a pharmaceutical company.
Why not?
Getting you to take pills. You know, the people who created the opioid crisis.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit. Come on, youngsters. Get that dick hard.
Why not have a backup? But yeah, so all the actors look like they're 25 or 26. And then they got this Korean dude who's working on a sink. And he's he crawls out from under the sink like, wait, what are you talking about? And he's got a hammer and a level. And I don't know any plumbing, any sinks that require a hammer or a level. Do a little bit of fucking homework, Roman. And when you set dress these commercials, like, you give a guy, you know, some plumber's putty and a wrench.
You are acting old enough to be their product.
I just hate that when, like, just do a little homework. You see it in movies and TV all the time. The worst is, like, in a TNT.
How do you know he's doing plumbing?
Well, because he's crawling out from under a sink.
Maybe he's
and
he's
got
a shelf in under there.
Nah, he's not putting a shelf in under there. I guarantee he's not. But the worst is like on cop shows when, like, oh, there's a burglar in their house. So let's run lights and sirens all the way to that house so the burglar can hear us and make a clean getaway. Mm-hmm. That's not how that works.
All right,
no. Anyway, I'm sorry I get so upset. Oh, Bank of America update. Day 33, still no money. Go fuck yourself, Mr. Stone. We'll get your money when we get your money.
I put it on Twitter.
I appreciate that.
Scumbags out of it.
33 days they've had my money.
Banks, baby.
33 days.
Banks and pharmaceutical companies. Always cool dudes.
Go fuck yourself. What you plugging?
What day is today? 9/11. Happy 9/11, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Today's 9/11, man. Where were you? Where were you when that went down?
Oddly enough, woke up and reluctantly turned on Man Cow on the station I used to listen to because my friend Monty was on there once in a while. Mm-hmm. The owner of Monty's on the show. So I turned it on, and it was just him talking about stuff. And then I got out of bed like, what's going on? And my parents were watching the TV. And then the plane hit the second tower.
Damn.
And I was like, well.
It's crazy.
And I just remember my buddies so nihilistically the next day, like, everybody's like in shock, you know, was so like walking around like, what the fuck's going on? And my buddy looking at a newspaper that said, like, God help us, with the Twin Towers. There's no God. Look at the picture. Look at your picture. There's no God, you fucking idiots. Just so quickly, like, you fucking morons. Look at the picture you put.
Everybody in Atlanta was freaking out because we thought that the CDC was going to get bombed. Just all that stuff getting. I think a little. We mentioned it, but yeah, that was a legitimate concern. People were like, "Should we leave town in case that happens?"
That is weird that all those things are just bio warfare, just sitting right there.
Mm-hmm. Got a real quick and easy recipe.
What you got?
This is the dumbest, easiest recipe I've ever given out. It's not even a recipe.
Is it something I can make?
Yes.
All right.
But still sticking to the keto, trying to watch the carbs and sugar. I just said I don't have much of a sweet tooth. Ironically, I do have it whenever I'm on a diet because it's just psychologically. Oh, I want the thing.
You're not eating sugar when you're not having your breads or anything.
Yeah, yeah. So
or alcohol. You're not getting sugar.
I'm not getting any sugar.
I remember that when I stopped drinking for a bit, and that's when I was like, I want all this sweet.
Yeah. Dude, sugar-free Jell-O and sugar-free, fat-free whipped cream. Top it with a little whipped cream. Sugar-free whipped cream on the sugar-free Jell-O. It's a tasty little sweet substitute.
Yeah, it's delicious if you're in a hospital.
Hey, it's something, though. It's something. It's like, okay, look at this little treat.
Well, there you go. That's your recipe. Go go to a hospital cafeteria and get nuts.
What else? Oh, yeah, still looking for designs for our booger in Pennsylvania who's looking for a boogie monster tattoo. So a couple folks have sent in designs. I will forward those to that young man. But any more you got there, just feel free to shoot them over to us. What you plugging?
Next weekend, September 20th to 22nd, I'll be at the Charlotte Comedy Zone.
Oh, yeah.
And then I will be in Columbia, South Carolina on the 23rd. We're going to be doing a live podcast.
Live podcast at 2 p.m. and then your show that night.
Yeah. And then I'm at the Brooklyn.
New Brooklyn Tavern.
New Brooklyn Tavern. And then I'm at the Pygmalion Festival in Champaign-Urbana on the 28th.
What is that? That sounds cool.
I don't know. There's a lot of, I think they're rappers, but a lot of names I don't recognize.
Huh.
But it's all right. I've been to Champaign. And then, I'll promote the other stuff that, San Francisco and Sacramento, first in Santa Cruz, first week of October. Going to be doing some mountain biking in Santa Cruz if you're around. Comedy Works, Denver, Fort Collins coming up. A lot of fun stuff there.
Cool.
All right. What do you got?
I'll be in Tampa on the 19th of September, next week, at Ella's Americana Folk Art Cafe. I'll be in Jacksonville on September 20th at Dahlia's Poorhouse. And I'll be in Orlando Friday the 21st at Bull and Bush. And then I, too, will be in Columbia, South Carolina. Saturday the 22nd, I'll be headlining a show at New Brooklyn Tavern. And then, like Kyle said, we'll both be doing the live Boogie Monster the next day, Sunday the 23rd. All info and tickets and stuff for that, dumbdavestone.com, in that order. So there you go. Take that. Take that shit.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I think they're fine with it.
Okay.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally once and for all find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves or they were pushed out by outside forces like the government.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
It's a good show.